凶了吧。
I'd like to call your attention this morning to the first 10 words of the Bible. The first 10 words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I feel that's increasingly important these days. You will doubtless have heard of what was discovered on the Isle of Wight a few days ago. A new dinosaur, bigger, better, fatter, more ferocious than anything they've had before. And it goes back millions of years. And it's so difficult not to be carried away with what they call scholarship. Because although they can answer many of the questions of what, none of them have the slightest answer for the question why. And why governs everything. Why is the world and the universe there? Well, it was a big lump and it went bang. That's scientific reasoning. Why did it go bang? Why was it there? Who made it? We often think, what can God do for me to help me improve? Well, what's wrong with that? Nothing. Or, what can I do for God to please him? What's wrong with that? Nothing. But it misses the point. The point is, what we should be asking is, what is God doing for God? Ah, that's different. What do we know of God? Well, let's look into the scriptures and see what it tells us of God. Exodus 3:14. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Two tiny little words, I am. Their meaning is stupendous. It means God never started, doesn't change, and will never stop. At all times, in all places, throughout eternity, God is. If you've never stopped to think about things like that, I beg you, begin now. It's stupendous. God did not start. Everything else did. You see, if anything was there before God, then that would be God's God, wouldn't it? No such thing. God has always existed. Ah, but God isn't just one person. He's three persons. Really? Well, let's look in the Bible. Genesis 1:26. We just read it. Then God said, let us make man in our image. He did not say, I want to make man in my image. Let us, plural, make man in our, plural, image. There's more than one. Let's read a few scriptures. Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made through him. Without him was nothing made that was made. And then verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the man, started. Jesus, the spiritual part of the Godhead, has always existed. Jesus was truly God and truly man. The God did not start, he always was. Jesus was born in Bethlehem 2,000 or so years ago. Right, let's move on. John 8:58. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." You can't have a clearer claim to be God than to use God's own name for himself. Before Abraham was, hundreds of years before he said this, I am. It's amazing, isn't it? 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Now, don't try to understand that. I can't understand it. Nor can you. But accept it. It's a mystery of the Godhead. But accept it. Right. Now then, so long as these three persons of God remain alone, none of his properties are in evidence. If he's just there, then nothing is known. Something to make God's properties known must be brought into existence. God's will and purpose. So God created the heavens and the earth. They weren't just there. They didn't go bang. He created them. Now, if you were good at school, as of course I was, a long time ago, I was told matter can neither be created nor destroyed. What is it? Matter cannot be created or destroyed. God created the heavens and the earth. Oh. Who's right? God? Or the scientists? Well, the scientists are very, very knowledgeable, you know. They really... You've got to start thinking for yourself. Did God create the heavens and the earth? Or did he just take over something that was in the car park? It's difficult. Because science starts to say, oh no, God can't do this. Ah, there's the magic word. You see, as soon as you say God can't, you're wrong. Because in physical and chemical world, God can. There is nothing he can't do if he wants to. There are things in the scripture that defy scientific laws. Most particularly, most amazingly, is the day when the sun stood still. Now, with the earth orbiting around the sun, there's a gravity attraction to the sun which draws it in, and there's a centripetal force which sends it out. And because they balance, the earth goes round the sun. If one of them stopped, the earth would crash. It's a physical impossibility. The Bible says the sun stood still. It's impossible. Not with God. Lazarus was in the grave. He'd been buried 4 days. His flesh was rotting. His poor sister said, "Lord, he stinks." And Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out, there's a good chap. Coming, Lord." Out he steps. Oh, it's impossible. There were a huge number of witnesses. It happened. Never say God can't, because God always can. Archimedes says you can't walk on water. Jesus did. Be careful. Be careful. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. That's a huge statement. Faith. Faith. Trusting something you are told and are certain is right in the face of physical energy that says it's wrong. What properties of God's nature, therefore, did God want to show? Right. John 1 John 4:16. God is love. Fine. But you see, love can't exist on its own. You love something. You can't just love. Acts 3:14. But you denied the Holy One and the just. God is holy and just. But holiness and justice can only be seen in action with some other commodity. God is righteous, merciful, and gracious. Psalm 145:17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. Psalm 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. But these can only be seen in reaction to evil and sin. They can't be seen otherwise. 1 John 1:5. God is light. So what's the great plan? Oh, God sets it all out to show light, love, justice, grace, mercy, righteousness, with limitless power. He creates a universe. And he creates it perfect. God saw that he had made, and it was good. Very good. There was nothing wrong with it whatsoever. It was perfect. Right. How then can he display forgiveness, grace, mercy, if everything is perfect? Ah. Because he created angels and men with free will. True free will. Now, we all imagine that we've got free will. Politically, I suppose we have, nearly. But free will in the sense of absolute perfection, none of us have. Once Adam sinned, the human race became cursed, and free will disappeared. The angels had free will as well. But if they offended God, then they became the enemies of God. So, James 1:13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted of evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Psalm 10:3. For the wicked boasts in his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. We do not have free will. We are nevertheless responsible for that which we produce and do. How was Satan the enemy of God? Because in his pride and with full ability, he chose to set himself against God. God did not create him evil. He created him with a propensity to evil. We know this because when Adam was in the garden with Eve, Satan, as a serpent, came up and said, "Has not God said?" He told Eve a lie. She believed him. She ate the forbidden fruit, as did Adam with her. And we lost free will from then on. God didn't create evil. He created perfect free will, which was then used against him by Satan and the others. So God decided to show off his attributes by making a perfect environment for his friends. Limitless power then brought about the Garden of Eden, and to suffer to save them, so his love, mercy and grace could be shown. The whole event had to take place. God saw everything that he had made, and it was good. God was friends with mankind in the garden. Genesis 3:8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What a lovely picture. Adam and Eve in this perfect physical world. And God's coming, I can hear him, yes. Fellowship with Almighty God walking in the garden. What a marvellous picture. God's purpose was clear. For with the Israelites in later days, he said this, Exodus 9:16. "But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." You see, that's what God's wanting, that his name should be declared in all the earth. Isaiah 66:18. "I will gather all nations, and they shall come and see my glory." That's what God's doing. He's building up a situation that displays in utter perfection and absolute certainty all of God's attributes. We are part of a magnificent plan. However, to test and prove the love of Adam and Eve, God provided rules for obedience. They could choose to obey or not. Eve and Adam chose to believe Satan. They did not have to, but they did. Genesis 2:16. "The Lord commanded man, saying, of the tree of the garden, every tree you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." The plan was placed in motion. Power, design, love of beauty were all complete. But love, justice, righteousness, grace and mercy needed personal sacrifice and subsequent forgiveness. John 15:13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Habakkuk 1:13. "You, God, are of purer eyes than to behold evil. You cannot look upon sin." It's unthinkable that a holy God should be in the company of sinners. He could walk with Adam and Eve in the garden because they were still perfect. The moment they sinned against him, out they went. Matthew 27:46. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus, dying on the cross, takes upon himself the guilt of our sin. And because he took sin upon himself, God left him. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Because you have become sin for man. It's that serious. Romans 2:16. in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:13. There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we must give an account. Not we might have to, we must. It's all continuing on in the magnificent plan. So how can a sinner survive before such a God and bring him glory and honour? It's a good question. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 1 John 2:2. He himself, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the whole world. 1 John 4:10. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Propitiation. I looked it up in the dictionary. Something that enables someone to pardon an offence or to act mercifully. Or, in ordinary terms, to render happy and contented. So Jesus, dying on the cross, renders God the Father, in his holiness and purity, content to receive all who believe into his presence. Propitiation. What a word. What a meaning. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. That's the propitiation working out. 1 Corinthians 15:28. Now when all things are made subject to him, Jesus, then the Son himself will also be subject to him, God the Father, who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. There it is. That's the whole purpose for the universe. That God may be seen to be all in all. Why are we here? Why is the world? Why is the universe? Why is the sun shining? It's all to demonstrate that God is all in all. Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. It's the same picture as the Garden of Eden, isn't it? God will be with all who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved through that faith in his sacrifice. And in the future, there's going to be a recreation. God isn't going to patch up this world. He's going to make a new one. A few more verses. Genesis 3:8. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. 2 Tim 1:7. God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Romans 8:21. Creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labours with birth pangs together until now. This heaving world is preparing for a new birth, a perfect recreation within which God's people will dwell in physical and spiritual perfection with God himself. 2 Peter 3:13. We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth within which righteousness dwells. Revelation 2:7. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. 1 Samuel 12:22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. But, and there's a huge but, for God to be seen in his glory and justice, all that has dared to offend him must be punished. A judge who, having found a criminal guilty, dismisses him, would lose his job very quickly. Justice must bring forth punishment. So, where do we go? James 2:10. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. Hebrews 10:30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God's plan, therefore, is that all humans be given a spiritual dimension. They were created in the image of God. God is not a person. Jesus, the man, was a person. But God is spirit. Therefore, we aren't made into his physical appearance. He doesn't have one. We are made into his spiritual appearance. God's plan, therefore, is that all such should either be in the paradise with him or in hell with unbelievers. Oh, don't spoil your sermon by saying hell. Well, you see, you can't avoid it. If you avoid hell, you diminish the glory of paradise. Those with him in paradise, in perfect obedience, acknowledge that they are there solely by the grace of God and are only righteous through their God-given faith in what God has done for them in his Son, Jesus Christ. Those in hell are described by Jesus in a parable. Luke 16:24. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. They're Jesus' words, not mine. We can argue how we like about the love of God. And many, many people who call themselves Christians won't talk about hell. Oh, don't talk about things like that now. It was in the Victorian era, you understand. Well, so it was. And so it will always be. You see, God must judge righteously. And if people do not accept the sacrifice that he offered in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, then they are responsible. And you can say God is love till you're blue in the face, but it won't make any difference. God's purpose for himself, you ignore at your peril. Because you see, it's not what you've done, but what you haven't done that condemns you. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It is what you have not done that condemns you, not what you have done. Which is why the thief on the cross with Jesus, a convicted and serious criminal, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. He believed, and all his wretched sins were dismissed in Christ's sacrifice. John 5:28. The hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. These things are desperately serious. God is God. He has a plan and a purpose which will be perfected at the end of time, and a recreation within which all those who believe will be assembled with him in the most wonderful paradise beyond anything we can imagine. But if you do not believe, doesn't matter how good you've been, doesn't matter how many times you've been to the shop for your neighbour, if you do not believe, then you are the enemy of God. And you will be punished. A man once said, Acts 16:30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we thank you for the wonder of your ways, for the wonder of your Bible. Help us to understand. Give us your grace and mercy, that we may be among those who, having confessed their sins, know themselves forgiven and perfected for Christ's sake. Help us, enable us, bring honour to your name through us, and may all be done to your glory as ever, for Christ's sake. Amen. Our final hymn is 576. 576.
Come then before that
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen.